And so we have been observing the entry into human history of the Lord of the armies, Jesus Christ, who entered human history on that June night, June the 17th of 2 BC. We've observed the Magi, who observed in the carousel the demonstration, the testimony of all of these events, and responded to it with a trip to Jerusalem in search of the King of the Jews whom they might worship. We've seen the exploits of the Magi. We've seen their preparations, their trips, their audience with Herod, their journey to Jerusalem, their presentation of phenomenal gifts to the Messiah, enabling him to be a person whose family could sustain him to adulthood and protect him accordingly. We found him in Egypt, and now we're about to see him as a small child emerge from Egypt and to make the long trip from Egypt through Palestine up to Galilee and into what will become his childhood home of Nazareth. We're working in our passage now in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. After Herod died in March of 1 BC, behold, an angel of the Lord, probably Gabriel, appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, verse 20, get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. This quote of the angel begins exactly the same way as it did in Matthew 2:13. We have Ergothias Eralabe. Get up and take. The verb is the aorist active imperative to take the child, who is a paideion, and his mother, and journey, the present middle imperative of the verb poruomai, which means to depart. Get up and depart. Now, when they were in Bethlehem, the mandate from Gabriel in the dream was to get up and leave. Leave Palestine and go to Egypt. And then he went on further to say, stay there until I tell you differently. And so when they got down there, they were to stay in a place called Babylon, as is the tradition among the early church, a place on the Nile River just north of Cairo. And they stayed there until they heard from Gabriel. And we have just seen his mandate to get up and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Now, this mandate to leave in Matthew 2:13 occurred on Christmas night, what we call Christmas today, December the 25th of 2 B.C. And they moved over into Egypt, and we know that Herod died in the late part of February or early March of the year 1 B.C. At some point after that, we're going to find out that this mandate comes to Joseph to take the child and to leave Egypt and to move back into Palestine. Get up and depart. The imperative moods here again challenge Joseph's volition, which you've noticed in the past. When these mandates came down to him in Bethlehem, he immediately got up and left. It was imperative that he do it then before Herod could get his assault corps down to Bethlehem and discover the child and kill him. He left in accordance with the mandates from Gabriel. Now we see that he immediately responds to Gabriel's order to get up and depart from Egypt. Their imperative moods, again, they challenge Joseph's volition, his integrity, and his courage. In Matthew 2:13, the command was to hurry from Israel into Egypt. Here the mandate is to depart from Egypt back into Israel. And verse 13, Gabriel told Joseph the reason for having haste. Here's the quote. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is on the verge of deploying a search and destroy mission to execute the child. So there was urgency in leaving Palestine. Now the ones of whom Gabriel speaks are Herod and his son Antipater, whom Herod had assassinated just a few days before he died. Antipater was the heir apparent to the throne. But Herod could not brook anyone who seemed to want the throne before he died, even though he was on the verge himself. And he had yet another of his own sons assassinated. And so we have these two men. Had Antipater made it to the throne, he too would have sought the child's life for the same reasons as Herod. So this cleared the way for Joseph then to take Mary and Jesus back to Israel. And so Matthew 2:20 reads this way. Get up, take the child and his mother and depart for Israel. For those who sought to assassinate the child are dead. Verse 21. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. This verse indicates that Joseph immediately responded to the command. In verse 16, he and his family were asleep. It's not evident if such was the case here. He may have been seated, but nevertheless, the mandate was to get up. So whether he was lying down asleep or sitting in a chair, whatever, he responded immediately. He followed orders and departed Egypt and returned into the land of Israel. Now there are several routes that he could take through Palestine. Two were available to him. The route he took to Egypt could be chosen as the return route. You will see that the route to Egypt, this dark red line, it came down from Bethlehem to Hebron, then over through Lachish to Gaza, and then down the coastal route into Egypt all the way down to just north of Memphis. I said Cairo a while ago. It's Memphis. To Babylon. Now, this is according to church tradition. You can take a leave that. So when the mandate comes for him to leave, then he immediately packs his bags and they head out. And therefore, we find the dotted red line taking him up to Nazareth. That's this top line here. There are other options, one of which is this little dotted black line where you get back to Gaza, move over to Lachish and Hebron, and back up to Bethlehem. That, because Herod, he's been told that Herod is dead and so is Antipater, so he's free to go back to Palestine. His first notion was to go back to Bethlehem. That's where he left. And remember, he'd only been gone a period of approximately 4 months. That's as long as he was down there, as we'll establish as our study continues. But these were options for him. What would he do? What was going through Joseph's mind? He could use that same return route, of course, the coastal route to Gaza. That's the obvious way to get back into Palestine. And secondly, as we've noted, go eastward through Lachish to Hebron and then north to Jerusalem, where he could then follow number 4, the central ridge route, or 5, the Jordan River route. Each would take him northward to Galilee and Nazareth. So there are options for him to get up to Galilee. But his first notion is apparently to go back to Bethlehem and or Jerusalem, assuming that it's safe there now that Herod is dead. He could stay, therefore, on the coastal route until he reached Caesarea. You see, at Caesarea, then you move into the valley of Jezreel and move over approximately here and then north up into Nazareth. We noted that in our previous study, that particular route. So circumstances are going to dictate the choice that Joseph makes. Now, in verse 21, Joseph immediately responded to the mandate to get up and take the child and his mother and return to the land of Israel. Now, the key word in verse 21 is the aorist middle indicative of the verb eis erkomai, which is translated came. The aorist tense is ingressive, which signifies a state or a condition, and denotes the entrance into that state or condition. It looks at the action of the verb from the viewpoint of its initiation. The verb thus describes the Holy Family crossing the border between Egypt and Palestine. It shows that they immediately left Egypt. The middle voice may be described in general as follows. And this is from Greek grammar beyond the basics. In the middle voice, the subject performs or experiences the action expressed by the verb in such a way that emphasizes the subject's participation. It may be said the subject acts with a vested interest, and certainly there is one here. The difference between the active and middle voices is one of emphasis. The active voice emphasizes the action of the verb. The middle emphasizes the actor or the subject of the verb. So the emphasis is on Joseph and his decision-making process to immediately get up and to move out. And we see here from the aorist tense, it is ingressive, that he is moving into Palestine. So we see the integrity of Joseph once again. He fulfilled the mandate to remain in Egypt until Gabriel instructed him otherwise. And once told, he immediately packed the family's bags. Eis erichomai, therefore, is a compound. It's made up of a preposition. The prefix is eis, and it connotes the idea of motion into a place. Eis means motion into or motion forward. Erichomai is the verb to come. And in this context, with the prefix of eis, it means to come back or to return into. The literal translation of this verse would therefore read like this. Matthew 2:21. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came back into the land of Israel. Now we've got him back in country, and he's moving up the coastal route toward Gaza. Now the return route is the coastal route. It takes him to Gaza, where there is an option to proceed on the coastal route or turn east toward Lachish and Hebron. The latter is the route they took for the evacuation and would allow them to move through Bethlehem and even Jerusalem. However, news along the route to Gaza caused Joseph to become concerned for the safety of his family. That moves us to verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Archelaus apparently had a reputation. Then after being warned, and then by God is in parenthesis, is not in the text. And then after being warned in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee. So the dream is the thing that causes Joseph to reconsider going back to Bethlehem and or Jerusalem and to reconsider his destination. The dream instructs him to go to Galilee. Now, of course, you remember that's where they were living, in the city of Nazareth. When they were instructed by the Augustan census to move down to Bethlehem, the city of David, in order to be counted. We've been through all of that. So if he's going to go back to Galilee, obviously he's going to wind up going to where he previously lived, and that is in the community of Nazareth. Now the verb to hear is the aorist active participle of akouo. And when the main verb is also in the aorist, it indicates that the two actions are going to occur contemporaneously. The main verb is the aorist middle indicative of phobeomai and usually indicates fear. However, it is followed by the aorist middle infinitive of the verb op erichomai, which means to go. Now, you pull all of this together and you find that the two things are happening simultaneously, but because of the infinitive, you do not translate phobeomai as fear. When the verb to fear, i.e. phobeomai, is followed by a verb in the infinitive, then its translation in this context means to hesitate. He hesitated to go. And when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father as tetrarch of Idumea, Judea, and Samaria, he hesitated to take the central ridge route. Now, there's a hesitation here. I'm not going to go over. I'm going to hesitate to move over through Lachish to Hebron and up through Bethlehem and Judea. I don't want to do this. I'm hesitating to do this because of the news that Archelaus is now sitting on the throne. So Joseph knew about Archelaus's character, apparently, and concluded that he could potentially try to murder the Christ child were he to return his family to Bethlehem. Archelaus was a chip off the old block, including the same heinous disposition of his father. We have some background and a character sketch on this new leader of Judea. As we have noted, Augustus Caesar and Herod were close friends. Upon Archelaus's succession to Herod's throne, Augustus agreed to elevate him from tetrarch to ethnarch. And here's a little bit on those two concepts. Tetrarch signifies a prince who governs one-fourth of a domain or kingdom. The Greeks first used the word, and later on the Romans adopted the term and applied it to any ruler of a small principality. It is not synonymous with ethnarch, at least the Romans made a distinction, and sometimes it was used courteously as a synonym for king. So here's how things are playing out. Archelaus is now heir apparent to the throne of Herod. Herod has died. Archelaus may now be considered a tetrarch. That's the position that is held by those who have the different divisions of Palestine. But Augustus, knowing very close with Herod, knowing that this was in his will, has made a deal with Archelaus. I will promote you to ethnarch, but you have got to come to Rome and receive official certification of this. And then when you go back, if you rule honorably over your divisions, then I will make you king of the Jews. So that's the setup we have here. Now, Joseph is in a quandary at the moment. He is hesitating to go back to Bethlehem where he would like to put up stakes, but he's gotten word that Augustus has promoted him to ethnarch and has promised to make him king if he earns the title. The news, the scuttlebutt, as he moves back into Israel and gets around Gaza, apparently, somewhere in that neighborhood, the news is out that Archelaus is on a rampage. And therefore, there needs to be some further information in order for Joseph to pull the trigger and make a decision as to where he wants to go. When he leaves Gaza, he can either go over to Bethlehem or he can continue north on the coastal route and do something different. At this point, we don't know what, because further information has not been given, and that further information is what we will discuss next Sunday morning. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for the opportunity and privilege of noting these things about our Savior. He is the Lord of the armies, and he protects this client nation. The wall of fire is presently in place, and we therefore benefit by the peace that results from our Lord's control of history. It is our prayer that those who make decisions for this country would be motivated by circumstances that do not allow them any other option but to submit to establishment viewpoint. We pray that our Lord will control history so that we might enjoy the freedoms that so many on the battlefields of this country have ensured for us, possessed for us, and protected for us. We thank you for this environment of freedom that allow us to gather here in order to study your word and make our advance to be better combatants in the invisible combat of the appeal trial of Lucifer. Therefore, may we be motivated by the exploits of those visible soldiers of our nation's present and past. May we be motivated by the exploits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the armies and controls history on our behalf, allowing us the freedom and the opportunity to move forward within your plan and become good soldiers for Christ. Motivate and encourage us by these concepts as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene plethun thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.